Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain with the regular season winding down. It's time to check some temperatures. We're focusing on hot seats today. While some teams are having dream seasons, others are not where they want to be right now. We'll go over the five Mountain West head coaches I think have the warmest buns currently, including the case for and against keeping them around. Fun episode this week. Let's dive in. Really quick, here are the temperature levels we'll be dealing with today. First is cool, which means there's some concern, but it would be stunning to see them get fired this year. Next is warm, which means a firing would still be shocking, but the reasons why have been building for a while. In the middle is hot, which means you have to change things soon or you're out the door. Second hottest is scorching, which means they're more likely to be fired at the end of the season than not. And finally, we have ablaze, which means they are almost certainly at the end of their time with the program. Also, this list will be a no particular order, so the first coach we're going to talk about is Boise State's Leon Rice. Without a doubt, the greatest head coach in Boise State basketball history, spent a decade as Mark Few's assistant at Gonzaga before getting the Boise State job, and over his 15 years in Boise, he has done some great things, brought the Broncos to five NCAA tournament appearances, won two Mountain West regular season titles, and a Mountain West tournament in 2022, but it does seem like the fan base is still hung up on being 0-5 in March Madness under Leon Rice. There are Bronco fans out there thinking that it's time for a change. Leon Rice elevated the program to a consistent, powerful force in the Mountain West, but as the Broncos turn their sights towards the Pac-12 in 2026, they have to find another gear, frankly, that Leon Rice may just not have. You go out there, you land a big fish at head coach that can take this program to the next level, whereas fans that are on Rice's side are thinking that he's the greatest coach in Boise State history. As long as the team is towards the top of the conference standings, he should be allowed to coach until he retires. Checking the temperature on Leon Rice's seat, it has come up warm. I would be stunned if Rice was fired or forced to retire after this season, but if the Broncos miss the big dance this year and don't have a stellar final year in the Mountain West, I can foresee Boise State opting to go in a new direction heading into the Pac-12. The next coach we're going to talk about is UNLV's Kevin Kruger, of course the son of longtime UNLV head coach Lon Kruger. Once his playing career wrapped up, he spent a good amount of time as an assistant, 4 years at Oklahoma, and then he spent 3 years as an assistant at UNLV before being promoted to head coach. In his 4 years at the helm of the Rebels, he has had a 58% winning percentage and took them to the NIT quarterfinals last season, which was their longest NIT run in almost 30 years. But Rebel fans are certainly starting to grow sour on Kevin Kruger. Their biggest gripe currently is that he has followed up their best season in a decade with potentially their worst record since Kevin Kruger's first year at the helm, especially when you consider how good UNLV looked in the second half of the 2024 season. This should have been the next step towards returning to March Madness for UNLV this 2025 season, but instead, a lot of these fans feel like Kruger has left the program lifeless. They've had a slew of head-scratching losses this season, the incoming transfer class has been inconsistent, and the changes on the coaching end have been non-existent. The Rebels need a truly great coach and simply don't have that currently, and they're definitely are Rebel fans that are still on Kruger's side. They see him as a born and bred Rebel. He's still responsible for bringing Deaden Thomas Jr. home. Sure, this season has been disappointing, but firing Kruger could push Thomas Jr. out the door as well. You just can't take that risk. Give him one more year to right the ship and see where it goes from there. Checking the temperature on Kevin Kruger's seat, oh boy, it is scorching. If Kruger can't get this team to finish the year above 500, he is certainly gone, but a late surge from the Rebels could save his job. With the football program showing how quickly a great coach can revitalize a program with what Barry Odom did there in just two seasons, that same brass likely won't hesitate to let go the UNLV lifer. Our third coach to check the temperature of is Nevada's Steve Alford. Of course, won a national title at Indiana as a player, and he has had a very prolific head coaching career as well. Won some Big Ten titles at Iowa, had a great run at New Mexico and UCLA as well. And during his 6 years in Reno, he's won over 60% of his games. He's brought the Wolfpack to the NCAA tournament in their last two seasons. The biggest sticking point for Nevada fans currently is that Alford simply hasn't gotten the Wolfpack back to their Eric Musselman era standing, and that's despite being in Reno for twice as long. Musselman won two games in the NCAA tournament and delivered back-to-back seven seeds, while under Steve Alford, despite being there for twice as long, they are 0-2 in the NCAA tournament under him. There's a pretty strong case for keeping Alford around with how much winning Alford has done in his career. He deserves some leeway when things don't go according to plan like they have this season. Give him another year to get Nevada back to the top of the standings. As for the Wolfpack fans that want to go in a new direction, this season should have seen the Wolfpack battling for a regular season title. Instead, they're tied with UNLV. Alford has had 6 years to get us back to dominance, and he hasn't been able to find it. It might just be time for a change. Checking the temperature on Steve Alford's seat, okay, it's just cool. Even if we assume that Nevada misses out on the big dance this year, Alford should be safe for at least another season. Finding an instant upgrade to someone as experienced as Alf is a long shot, so there's no real reason for Nevada to pull the plug now. Our second to last coach to talk about is going to be Fresno State's Vance Wahlberg. Of course, just in his first season as the Bulldogs head coach, obviously has not gone according to plan with them sitting at 5-21 currently. Wahlberg built his pedigree with over four decades in the high school ranks as a head coach. He also had four prolific years at Fresno City College, two not so prolific years at Pepperdine, and then he also spent 6 years as an NBA assistant. He's the architect of the dribble drive motion offense, which was his claim to fame, as well as being a native and loved figure in the Fresno area. The biggest gripe for Bulldog fans currently, though unfair, is that this roster that Wahlberg has put together at the last minute just hasn't been up to snuff. Along with his top transfer, Amar Aguilar, leaving the team, it's worth wondering if Wahlberg can survive this new era of college athletics. However, the case for keeping Wahlberg around makes a ton of sense. What did we expect? He had a month and a half to put together a roster from scratch. Wahlberg lives and breathes the city of Fresno. Let him have a full offseason to show what he's truly capable of. But on the other hand, the case against Wahlberg also does make sense. The Bulldogs are 1 year away from being in the Pac-12 and may opt to give their next hire a year to prepare rather than giving Wahlberg one more year to show improvement. It isn't like this season has left a ton to build off of. Checking the temperature on Wahlberg's seat, it does come up as hot. It definitely would be unfair to can Wahlberg after just one season, but with entry into the Pac-12 on the horizon, it wouldn't be too surprising to see the Bulldogs start over. And our final coach to check the temperature on is going to be Joe Scott from Air Force, another guy who has been in the college coaching ranks for quite some time. Played and coached under Pete Carrill at Princeton for over a decade. That's where he learned the Princeton five-out offense that he has brought to Air Force and that Air Force has been running for over two decades now. Before Scott came back, he had 17 years combined as a head coach at Air Force, Princeton, and Denver, along with stops as an assistant at Holy Cross and Georgia. And since returning to Air Force in these five seasons, he's got a 42% winning percentage, but specifically the last two seasons have just been very rough. The Falcons are on track for their second straight single-digit win season, with this season being a step below last year's nine-win campaign. With a 2-28 record in Mountain West play over the last 2 years, Scott may not have the answer this time around. It is worth noting, though, that I don't know if anyone could get a service academy to be competitive the way college sports operates now. I specifically remember talking to Joe Scott at Media Days this year about how Air Force could compete in this new era of college athletics, with them having to be stuck in the past, just recruiting freshmen and building them up through 4 years of play, while every other school in the country can recruit experienced 22 and 23-year-olds to fill their roster holes. Joe Scott essentially said, yeah, I don't know, this is really, really tough. We're doing the best we can, but it's kind of an impossible task. And I think we're starting to see the effects of that now as NIL and the transfer portal is becoming more and more ingrained part of college sports. The service academies are being pushed further and further away from the starting line. Now, the case for keeping Joe Scott around, winning here is a near impossible task, and Scott has shown that he can get the Falcons to relevancy. Of course, he brought them to a March Madness appearance in 2004, and his understanding of the Princeton offense is second to none. There's no doubt that 3-22 2 is a bad record, but a coach less familiar with Air Force's situation could be even worse. As for the opinion of Falcon fans that want to see the program go in a new direction, the Falcons aren't exactly a basketball powerhouse, but under the previous coach Dave Pilipovich, they still managed to reach double-digit wins for a decade straight. Now for Scott's second stint, it looks like he's peaked at 14 wins and is on track for the program's worst season since 1996. Who knows if anyone can win here, but we know now that Joe Scott can't. Checking the temperature on Joe Scott's seat, oof, it is scorching. On one hand, I think Air Force's athletic department is more lenient than most when it comes to firing coaches. With Scott's deep roots in the program, they may opt to keep him for the foreseeable future, but based on the on-court product, something has to change in Colorado Springs, right? That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This was a fun topic to dive into. Hopefully you have a better idea of who may be coaching for their job. Also, our Mountain West transfer tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the full list of portal entries in the description on your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Let's see how the end of the regular season shapes up. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.